This is W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the TechNet. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR at this time. Okay, this is K2BAR. This is the TechNet. TechNet is run every week by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association on the 14679 repeater, operated by the Bergen County FM Association, which graciously lets us use their repeater facilities for the net. In any case, program for tonight is whatever you come up with, plus I have a few questions myself. So we hope that you'll join us. Amateur radio is a technical hobby, and as such, it provides a lot of opportunity for a TechNet. Any subject related to amateur radio, electronics, radio, communications, etc., is fair game. It could be operational, it doesn't have to be about electronics per se. It could be operational issues, etc. Anything that comes to mind is fair game for the TechNet.
K2GCL repeater.
You do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Association in order to check into the net. In fact, we encourage you to check into the net whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net. We find that sometimes just your mere presence causes a subject to come up. So we ask you not to be shy with respect to letting us know you're with us. So, the format is easy to check in. Anyone can do it. You'll call in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above, for the net. Pretty straightforward stuff. So we'll start with Kilo stations, Kilo 2 stations actually, first. Any Kilo 2 stations, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net, please call K2BAR. No Kilo stations. How about any other, or Kilo 2s, any other Kilo stations of any type? This is K2BAR. Your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
K2BAR. K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
Good evening, Richard. Do you have a question or comment for the net? KC2PYB, K2BAR, do you have a question or comment for the net? Okay. Any other stations with Kilo calls, please call K2BAR.
KC2CHD, Oakland, no question at this time. Name is Harold.
Let's see if I got that one. Kilo Charlie 2, Charlie Hotel Delta, Harold in Oakland, is that right?
Tango Hotel Delta.
Sorry, Harold. Okay, very good. Welcome aboard. All right. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above.
Kilo 2 Delta Sierra Lima, David, no questions yet.
Actually, Richard and I have one for you, so I'm putting you down for a question. You just don't know. You don't have to provide the answers. All right, David, very good. Anybody else? Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KA2BDU, Helmut, no question.
Helmut, good evening, and you were going out of Home Depot, and as you hit the door, Jose WP3SN was getting on the back of a checkout line. He happened to spy you. Alrighty, good evening to you. Any other Kilo stations? Any Alpha stations? Call sign name, whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above. Whiskey stations.
This is W2JEK, Don, no questions.
Good evening, Don. Very good. Anybody else with whiskey? Okay, any November stations?
K2BAR, this is N2OEL, one question.
mind. Well, good for you. No one. We got your one question. Anybody else?
You did the case?
We did the case. K2ZO, you're in. Do you have a question, comment, or confusion for the net?
Not at this time, K2ZO.
Thank you very much, sir. And the other stations, all stations, please call K2BAR.
N2RFI, name is Al. No questions or comments.
N2RFI, Al. Okay, very good. Thank you, Al. Welcome aboard. Any other ones? Any other stations? Okay, well, I'm going to rock and roll with Noel's question first. I'm operating somewhat hampered tonight. I am in my vehicle in my driveway because I was on my way home from an emergency run to go buy glasses for my son. He broke them an hour ago. So, Noel, your question, sir.
Easy question. Has to do with a full-wave loop antenna. I was just over at the Fairlawn HF antenna fielding class. And the antenna manual, the antenna handbook, and the ARL handbook really didn't come up with a good answer, I don't think. Full wave loop antenna with approximately quarter wave on a side in a square configuration with the coax lead dropping straight down from one corner. Question is, should you use a bomb? Balloon, whatever the heck it's called, balance, unbalance. If the answer is yes, should it be 1-to-1? Should it be 4-to-1? Or should it be the so-called current balloon, which is the bunch of RF choke beads, ferrite beads? So that's the question. Over to you, KGBR and 2OL.
I can take that.
Please do, Jim.
Okay. This is K2ZO. I got it?
You have it, Jim. It's all yours.
Okay. Noel, if you use the formula, which is 1005 divided by the frequency in megahertz, I'll give you the length, the total length of wire that you need for a full wave loop. The impedance at the design frequency will be approximately about 150 ohms. The best way to feed it is with a piece of coax. Don't worry too much about the SWR. And just use a current type balun. 1-to-1, 4-to-1, no. Any type of voltage balun, because you do have a mismatch, although it won't make much difference, is not going to work as well. All you need to do is to choke off any current coming down. So just a current type balun, which is nothing more than the beads, will work fine. The other way to feed it is with a twin lead, and of course there'll be a lot less loss, but believe me, it doesn't make that much difference. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. That's the answer.
Okay.
Comment?
Go ahead, Doc.
Remember, I have a W6SAI, a Bill Orr antenna book. What he does, of course, this is for a single band antenna. He has a length of 72-ohm coax that's a electrical quarter wave length long, and then that joins a 50-ohm piece of coax. And this is, of course, for a single band antenna, and the 72-ohm coax transforms the high impedance down to the low impedance. That's what the theory says. I don't recall anything about a balun in his book. It's just to add to the confusion. Of course, and the other alternative is feed the thing with open wire and you don't have to worry about anything. Back to that, W2JK.
Anybody else have comments? Please call KTBAR.
I have a question for Don.
Go ahead, Don.
Since I only intend to use it for 10 meters, that sounds like an optimal solution. If you'd be so kind as to email me the reference, that my call at the net, it'd be much appreciated. K2BR and 2OL.
The the transformer doesn't work then.
Can you explain that, Jim?
Okay, what was your frequency you're going to put it on? You're just going to make a 10-meter loop, or were you going to make an 80-meter loop?
28350.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make it for like a larger band and run it on 10. In which case it ends up with some very interesting lobes on it. But all you want to do is choke off the RF, and of course putting the piece of coax in there to make the step down will just make it a little better match. But if you have an antenna tuner, it doesn't matter.
I have an AT200 auto tuner.
K2GCL repeater.
Turn your feet down into the noise, M2OEF.
The question is, with an AT200 auto tuner,
Gordon, this is W2JEK, you are unreadable. How far are you from WABC?
Mile and a half as the crow flies. I'm in Maywood, corner, well, like Bergen Mall, 12 blocks from Bergen Mall.
Yeah, okay. Thinking of our field day experience last year with being in the proximity of a another station. Jim, K2ZO, if an auto tuner is going to be affected by proximity to a broadcast station. Over to you, Jim, K2ZO, W2JEK. That's a good question. to tell you what happened with my AT200 when set in the auto mode, I was using the AT200 into the 80-meter antenna, which worked quite well. And I had it in the auto mode, which meant as I moved frequency, I could transmit and it would retune. As soon as some of the other stations came on, like 20 meters, which was running a lot of power, my auto tuner went nuts. So I had to put it into the semi mode where I just tuned when I transmitted and didn't let it pick up the RF that was getting back into it. I should have isolated it a little bit more with some RF donuts, and we'll try it again this year, but... it was definitely affected by stray RF.
Scott?
Yeah, I remember the experience. I think Jim actually went home and got a manual tuner at that point. It was on Saturday afternoon. He was pulling his hair out, put a whole new antenna up and everything before he tried another tuner. Those things happen. But I don't know how a broadcast station that far away would affect you. I really don't know. I do remember my father trying to measure a vertical that we had about 40 feet of downspout, and he was using a device called an antennascope, which is a kind of a bridge. And you would put in RF from a grid dip oscillator and then turn the dial on the bridge to try to null the thing. He could never know it because then he put a pair of headphones in the thing and found out that WABC was preventing the bridge from going down to a null. So things like that do happen. Anyway, back to net and see if Gordon's got his RF problem fixed. Gordon, why don't you try it again? W2TTT to get it, W2JEK.
Okay, W2JEK, W2TTT, how copy?
Well, you're there, Gordon. It's good copy, but you're weak. I would think you would be a lot better. Sounds like you're a little worried. Over.
Yeah, I'm RF challenged tonight. I didn't have a chance to set up because I had to run out on an emergency errand. All right. Any further questions on the topic, Noel?
Yes. I have two of these high-pass filters that cut off at... about 1.7, and by 1.8 they're down 20 dB, and 1.82 or 3, something in there. They're down about 30 or 40 dB. Pretty sharp curve there. I used one for my shortwave listening, and it's receive only. I also have one that's suitable for transmitting, not more than a couple hundred watts into it. I'm wondering if that would be suitable on the output of the AT200. Would that isolate the AT200? Or is the fact that it has coils and capacitors in there, it's got several holes in there, would that screw up the tuning of the antenna?
It would not seem to be a good idea to put it on the outbound side of the tuner, but Jim, what do you think?
The filter is designed for a particular impedance, and if you don't put it in the in line in the impedance that it's designed for, you're going to have grief. Those type of filters are designed to take out broadcast birdies and things like that. If you put it in a line that is no longer 50 ohms, the tuner is going to look at its reactance as part of the antenna, in which case you may get some rather high voltages into that thing, which will fry the capacitors.
Therefore, put it between the radio and the tuner?
Yeah, in that case, then it will be used as a bandpass filter, which will eliminate birdies and things like that. The tuner itself will tend to do that because of the fact that it's tuned to a rather high Q. So that's why I always use a tuner on field day, because it knocks out the other stations and also knocks out all kinds of broadcasts and other crap that you get in there at 80 meters.
Thank you. Back to that. This is Antulio.
Okay, very good. Any further check-ins tonight? K2BAR. Okie doke. Well, here is a question for Dave, K2BFL. Dave, we're looking at the Bergen Skywarn website, which links you off to a web form to submit spotter reports for the National Weather Service. And we're thinking that it might be useful to be able to put that spotter report form on a local web page on people's, you know, laptops, and then, you know, squirt it off into a file and upload it somewhere and have it, you know, have some sort of process that receives it and then loads it into the National Weather Service's actual database. This would be good for things like packet operations, things like that, where not real-time requirements are, you know, are okay, but near real-time. You know, a couple of minutes is fine. So just a thought for how we might go about doing that if we put, you know, maybe something like WinLink in as a transfer engine, and then we call it, you know, take locally loaded web form data and have some receiving process somewhere that would use the actual hardwired internet to put this thing into the National Weather Service and maybe other places as well. What do you think?
Well, it's usually hard to parse a form that's uploaded as a file, but if they can fill out a form that's on the website, then we can do whatever you want, because at that point it's data. So it'd be much harder if there was some form, like a PDF form or a Word document, possibly a text file, that where we would capture that information in some electronic form and then send it up when they are connected to the internet, parse it, grab the data that's relevant there, and then pass it along. If you can avoid that first step, it would make the whole process much easier and very doable.
Yeah, what we want to do is we want to scan the forms before they go into the National Weather Service site for distribution around other places who might need to know. At the same time, we're looking to upload it to the National Weather Service site. The problem is that not everybody connected to the internet in real time. So if someone has a laptop there, we have to find some transmission mechanism to take that web form that's locally produced, send it to a proxy that for a human being, and then actually upload it, as well as scan it off or something else.
Yeah, that first part where they would fill something on offline, and then whenever they are connected, either they dial off or, you know, however cellular modem that they eventually get in on, that's the part I'd have to go look in. Once from there, going out, that's easy stuff. So it would just be figuring out how to get a offline form into a mechanism where you're pulling out the data that you want, be able to store it and send it and pass it along, you know, five different workflows that you want to pass the data along and notify different people.
K2GCL repeater.
Yeah, you understand what we want to do. Okay, so is there a way to essentially download the web form from the National Weather Service as a user, capture that, and then use that as our template for remote pre-population?
Yeah, the only thing that I'd have to figure out is how to take an electronic form and that you would upload as a file to a website when you're connected to the Internet and be able to parse that as data. That's the only part I'd have to figure out.
Well, yeah, and the other part of the problem is that people may have more than one if they accumulate over a period of a couple of minutes, and they may be going like a freight train one after the other. Once connectivity is established, you know, appropriately. I mean, you enter your time on the form, so it's not a big deal. You know, there's no sequencing problem, if you will. It's just a pile of reports that you're just collating and setting up. But, yeah, I think we want to tap into those, is my point. I want them to go to George, and I want them to go to the National Weather Service directly. If George doesn't want them, then that's fine, too. It would be useful for some of us to get, you know, a little bit of a heads up on some of this stuff. But anyway, what else? I guess that's pretty much, let's see. You know what, Richard, I don't know if you can send David that web form or the URL for that web form of the National Weather Service to do a spotter report. I don't know if you have it, but if you go to Bergen Skywarn, there's a link for going to National Weather Service, and then from there you can find the submission form. Actually, I think it's directly available from the Bergen Skywarn site, David.
Yeah, I'll look at it. I'll find it. And then you can just, or I'll email you later and tell you what we got to figure out.
That's great. Because, you know, we just need a way to have these things saved off and, on a local basis, and then, you know, wind link them up or whatever to whatever our proxy is, our proxy entity is, that's hopefully not directly in the affected zone. If that works, then we probably want to do other things with that same mechanism, where someone can fill in some other form of offline form that mirrors what's available live on some website, and then again, submit that stuff when connectivity is available through a proxy. I think that'd be kind of cool. I'm just thinking the Skywarn thing is just a stable reference to try it out. It'd be very, very, very useful as well. But I have other ideas on that one as well. They're not weather related. Situation reports, things like that, or other matters. All right, anybody else have any comments? K2BAR.
K2BAR, W2JK.
Head on.
Yeah, I got my QST today, and I saw some results for the January VHF QSO party, and I see David K2BSL is number one as rover in the Hudson Division of the limited rover category. So congratulations to him. Also, I see that Barrow had
had a good representation also in the club scores. Back to net, W2JK.
That's great. Oh, by the way, a note. The operation at the Nike site has been canceled. The location is now Tony's house this weekend. K2AMI at AWRL.net is how you find your way to his house, but I would do it before the weekend to get directions, etc. Okay, congratulations, David. That's super. So you're in the smaller rover category. I'm going to operate this weekend, but I haven't decided how I'm going to operate yet. And it's definitely with a limited number of goodies. And, I haven't decided whether I'm going to constrain myself to 10 watts of power or go in the 100 watt category. We'll see. We will see. Play. Any other comments about VHF contest, and I'll give the times and such.
KQ2ORS, just checking in, Gordo.
Good evening, Robert. Very good. KQ2ORX noted. Good seeing you the other night, by the way, both of them. Alrighty. Well, the contest starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday and will end at 11 p.m. on Sunday night. You can operate the full contest period or any parts of it you have time for. Bands are 62, 222, 432, 903, 1296, 2304, 3456, 57, 60, 10 gig, 24 gig, and above that, I don't remember. The only frequency you cannot sit on and use is 146.52 or any repeater input or output. You can use other simplex frequencies on other bands. You should be courteous to others, however, if using FM. Does someone want to describe the grid roving? Actually, David, why don't you do it? My guess is you understand the rumor veil sweep. So why don't you do talk about the rumor veil sweep? KQDSL, KQDAL.
This is DSL. Thanks, Don, for letting me know. I'm looking for it in the magazine. I just got it now. So I think all I pretty much did was, for the most part, was just drive around in the circle. And if you go to the Barra website and you go to the link section on the Barra website on the left side, the second link there is the four grid map, and it prints out a PDF version of where the four grids, FN 20, 21, 30, and 31, all meet really close in the center of Bergen County. And you look, there's actually a road that kind of just goes around it. It's probably less than 5 miles, probably closer to 3 miles. And if you follow that road and you stop at each point, and how I did it was I kind of used my GPS, and I just marked points along the way and pulled over to a safe spot, and I could make contact with a bunch of different people in each one of those spots, and that's how I got the point. So other than me driving around those four grid spots, I don't think I actually spoke to anyone else as part of the contest. So just hitting those four spots helps you and then helps the person we're talking to, and I think I probably hit Don and maybe a bunch of other people at each one of those spots, so they get the four grid spots and I got the four grid spots for each one of those people. But it's pretty easy. It's right on the website under links, printed out. There's a whole bunch of information, especially even how to follow the route to take. You didn't make the repeater again, Gordon.
Okay, anybody else have any questions or comments for Dave? Now, I'm lacking an external antenna, and I'm on an HT with a bigger antenna, but nothing great. Alrighty. One other thing. Send Phil Barber your logs promptly after the contest within a week or two. WA2LXC. I think at hgt.net will work, or awrl.net, and he will combine them for the club score. So even if, whether or not you operate from Tony's house, if you have a personal operation, please consider, sending that in. club will get points for the combined score, as well as your individual score. So it's kind of neat. Let's see. So, what else? I guess that's all I have right now. Anything else I should add? Any questions about the contest? This is K2BA.
WI2W.
Go ahead, Steve.
Good evening, folks. One comment regarding working at Tony's house. There is limited space in Tony's shack, so you need to make prior arrangements with him before showing up, not to overload the shack, and you can get hold of Tony by phone or by email and coordinate some times with him. And he looks forward to the company, just not all at once.
K2GCL, repeater.
Yeah, I recommend that people email him tonight or tomorrow, k2ami@awrl.net, or whatever it was on the website, and contact him there in advance of the event. Don't call him at 11 o'clock at night, and don't call him at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday when he's trying to get ready for the contest. You know, call him sooner than later, it's always the best. Any other questions, comments, confusions about the VHF process? Okay, FYI, I had my tower cranked down and tilted over this evening, and sitting at about maybe 5 feet off the ground, or 4 feet off the ground, my 6-meter beam was hearing stations in Kansas and Colorado and places like that. So, and the antenna was vertically polarized. The tips were actually about 3 feet off the ground, and it was pointed south behind my house. And I went up ramp stairs to the shack, and I heard the 6-meter ring chirping away. So that was pretty funny to listen to. It looks like I will have it 6-2, maybe 222, and 432. And I'll have two sets of antennas on 6-2 and 432. Just a historical artifact. I've left antennas on my portable tower in the backyard. And I'll see what I can do about the other three antennas that are sitting in the driveway and getting them up in the air. But that'll save me swing time this weekend. Should make for an interesting time. Every time those boys in New England think they don't hear me anymore, I'll just switch the antenna to the New England antenna, punch them a solid signal, and make them go away. They're off my frequency. It'll be work very well. Alrighty. Good luck, everybody. Any other questions or comments for the net, please call K2BAR.
Thank you for listening.
KC2 Romeo something again. Better than I sound. Right now I'm doing something really minimal, just out of my own amusement.
Yeah, I just want to know if you got that small package that night.
That was my next transmission. Yes, I did, and thank you very much. And I guess you're going to make me get QSL cards. Hi. See, everybody helps everybody else out. In this case, you're going to shame me into making QSL cards. So I have a card made up. I just have to have it printed. So, Ron, we can do that. Not a problem. Welcome aboard. By the way, Ron's about four blocks from me, guys.
Yes, ROA. Gordon, we're gonna be stepping out for a few seconds. We're getting calls from the other room. We're gonna try you again at another time, okay?
Wherever you just moved to is much better. Go figure. Alrighty, well, we'll talk soon. Take care, Ron, and Godspeed. It was my pleasure to give you a hand, and hopefully we can do it again. KC2ROA, very good. Let's see, what do you call it? Robert, you had a question for the KC2RXW2, pardon me, KQBAR.
W2KBER, okay. ROA.
Okay, Ron, you weren't making it very well, that transmission, but 7-3 for now. And we'll come back to you in a bit if you'd like to jump in again, no problem. Robert, did you have a comment for the net?
Yeah, just a quick question. Are we still going up on the hill Saturday for the contest, or what's going on?
No, you missed the announcement. There will be no Nike site this weekend because of concerns over safety. It was decided that the operation would be moved to K2AMI's house.
I'll contact K2AMI by landline, see what time I can show up over there and do a little radio work.
That would be excellent. I'm sure he'd like that, but again, by appointment would be preferred. Alrighty. Any other stations for the net, questions, comments, confusion, please call K2BAR.
K2BR, K2FAZ, just a little check-in, nothing to add or comment on.
Hey, Tony, well, you're full quiet. You're probably having a better day. Are you on your way over here at some point?
I'm on the way to New York right now. If you're going to be up late, I could swing by on the way back, but I got the trailer on the back, so it'll be hard on your block.
You know what? Call me on the cell. Worst case is I come down in the corner of the cross street for you.
Copy that. I'll give you a buzz on my way back. If you're up, I'll swing by.
That's no problem. I probably will be because I'm going to be doing some kind of work. Looks like the net's going to be short, and I've got to do some other things first. But I think I've been using the cool of the night to make aluminum sprouts. Alrighty. Any other comments, questions, confusions for the net? Please call me. Yeah.
K2VAR, KC2THD, with a question.
Harold, good evening. Your question, sir.
Yeah, I guess maybe a little advice. I have presently a 100-watt HF setup. I got my extra class license, so that's all done, everything. It's an old TS-130 can. What works perfect. I'm running it through a G5RV antenna, you know, which I know has its limitations, but it works okay for now, through an MFJ tuner. 949E. And it's okay, I can tune up on all the bands and it works. Thinking about getting a linear, and I'm a little confused because I was looking at the older Heathkit SP200 201 or maybe a Collins 30L, which is a little bit upscale from that, but a nice power amp, or the Ameritron or something like that. But I'm looking on the I guess now I have to invest in a high power tuner. To tune that G5RV versus the MFJ 949, which is only for 300 watts, but I wouldn't put 300 watts to it anyway. It's really a 100-watt tuner. And And they're also saying some things, I'm looking on the web, I almost bought one that the input of those old, now I know how to change the keying thing from the 120 volts to the little thing for the newer transceiver, that's not a problem. Speaking about the signal path, the input on those older amps can sometimes give high SWR to these older, to these HF rigs, the transistorized ones, and cause them to go down in power. So I was concerned about that. So I'd be concerned if I had to run like a low power tuner to go from the transceiver to the amp, and then another high power tuner just to tune the antenna. Over.
You might find a need to do that. You might not. Your 949 may have a second life, if you will. You know, you have more than an even shot of being able to use the 130 with an SV220 or an SV200 or a 30L1, no problem. So I wouldn't get too cranked up about it. By the way, I borrowed a TS-130 for about 6 months when I was a new general, and it's what motivated me to save my shekels about 20 years ago, and ultimately, more than 20 years ago, and I ended up buying a TS-140 brand new. I only recently sold. I bought 140. I bought a 680. It's rolling 6 meters in it. I bought it from Trevo's Electronics, which no longer exists in Pennsylvania. And I literally drove down there in 2.5 hours, walked in the door 3 minutes before closing by appointment. Bought the radio and walked out 5 minutes after they were supposed to close. So it was kind of cool. Anyway, my young bride and I, we're married 25 years next month. So it's kind of cool. Alrighty, I guess it should work. I wouldn't panic too much until you get to see what actually works. Jim, just out of curiosity, K2ZO, anything you can do to kind of calm down the condition that Harold raised?
K2GCL, repeater.
How about
Don? WJK, what do you think? K2BAR, net W2JEK. Good evening, Harold. I'm a QRP here. I do not have a linear. But I do understand that I know Tentec has a small tuner without any of the SWR meter or anything built into it. I forget what the model number is that they claim is good for that, but having the 949E is a good tuner, and you can use that. And for now, and when you get the shekels together, you're gonna have to understand that you can either you can buy a linear, then you're gonna have to buy a high power tuner to go with it. So it's more shekels. So and then if you do happen to need the matching device between your transmitter and the linear, that the 949E will serve you well there. Something to think about. Anyway, I can't answer any further. I know there's all kinds of switching circuits and stuff that you got to have to make sure everything operates in the proper sequence. With that, back to net, W2JK.
Okay, just out of curiosity, does anybody know what the general tuning capacity of a SV220 or SV200 might be?
Yeah, Roger, KC2THD. I looked that up. It'll go 160, which I'm not running anyway, through 10 meters. And there's input tuning coils, I guess, into that linear, looking at, because I got the service manual offline, and it's actually assembly manual, too. But I've heard comments that, it was previously driven by old tube final 100-watt transceivers, which are very forgiving of VSWR. The transistor final to this Kenwood, if it goes over 1.5, it's not happy, it shuts down. So I'm just wondering if it's going to have a problem. Like I'm saying, I might have to run that 949 tuner between the transceiver and the amp, and now you got two tuners to deal with, and the plate load stuff on the amp, it's like it's like a TRF radio. You'd be turning the knobs all over the place every time I change frequency. That's I guess what I'm asking about. Back to net control.
You'll be turning knobs all over the place whether or not you have to tune
it. Yeah, Roger, I guess that's going to be the case. Without an oil tuner or something like that, just have to deal with it, I guess. Back to you.
Yeah, Harold, I would think that you're going to, you know, I mean, anytime you have a high-power amplifier that's not auto-tuning, you know, you're going to have to output, certainly when you change bands and maybe when you do excursions within a band.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I got to do now with the 949 with this Kenwood. I mean, if I go a few hundred kilohertz up and down a band, you got to kind of tweak it up again. You're not doing 100 watts. It'll go down. Especially with the G5RV, it's not exactly a rotatable dipole. You got to tune it up on every frequency. So probably just the same thing, only more complicated with a linear. Over.
Not too bad. I know guys who have an amplifier per band. They have their 20 meter amp and their 75 meter amp. In fact, they even have separate stations for each of those two bands.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll see how it goes. I got one on eBay almost. And it didn't work out with this guy on eBay, but it was a pretty good deal, like $300. So you got to put the soft keying thing in, because it's a minus 120 volt DC signal to key that, and that's not going to go into the Kenwood. It'll fry it. But that's easy to do. You just do it with a Kryten relay or something. It was just the signal path I was concerned about. And I guess what I thought is what you guys confirmed is just knobs all over the place. Over.
Yeah, I think the one thing you were concerned about, though, is the impedance. The input impedance of the amplifier not presenting itself in a nice way to the radio, and I think you can tweak around a little bit with that, and you probably can bypass that problem without too much trouble. That's my point.
Yeah, Roger. As long as I can make the radio happy with VSWR on the input to the amp, then I'm okay putting a high power PAL star on the output, using it as my complete tuner. When the amp's off, it's running 100 watts through that. When the amp's on, then you have your high power. But having two tuners is getting crazy. Over.
Yeah, what you may want to do is get yourself a perfectly resonant 20 meter dipole starting point and use that. That way you can bypass the idea of the tuner.
Yeah, well, Roger, that the ultimate thing is to get a better antenna. I understand that. That's what I got to get into. But little at a time, whatever. I'll see what I can put up outside. Back to you.
Yeah, the only reason I was suggesting 20 meters is because the antenna's not too big. Even if it's just a dipole, no big problem. All right, well, 7-3 for now, and welcome aboard. That's great. And I love the GS-130 that I used to have one to play with a long time. All right, any other questions, comments, or check-ins for the net? Let's call KTBAR.
N3CRT.
N3CRT, is that portable 3? Okay, good evening, Charlie. We didn't quite copy what you said because we have the food. But you
want to
try it again?
Yeah, I'm just out here on my deck with my handheld and my 2-meter beam.
Probably sound better than I do. Okay, well, welcome aboard. Just an FYI, Tony indicated that they'll be operating this weekend from his house, not from the Nike site. They were worried about the Saturday evening lightning storm size that they're going to stay as well. And anything else for the net, Charlie?
No, not really right now. I did get my dipole kind of set up here in the yard, but they didn't hear me too well on 10 meters. I have to come up with maybe just a 10 meter rotatable dipole or something like that, but my big dipole is kind of folded over on itself. It's an inverted V. So it's not doing too good, and my friends didn't hear me too well on 80 meters either, so I'll have to work on it a little bit.
Okay, very good. See me about a rotatable dipole. I might have something for you. And someone else. So I'm glad at least you're on the air. You need a dedicated Yagi, though, pointed our way. You still have egg fry in your signal. Good. Congratulations, and welcome to 7-9 from Sussex County. Anybody else? GTV Air. Okay, again, the VHF contest is 2 o'clock on Saturday. We hope you go to the SARA website, EARA.org, and go to the square part that explains how to grid run in Rivervale. We hope you'll work us on anything you have, 6, 2, 22, 440, whatever. And work the other stations in the club as well, and other stations not in the club. Work as many as you can, get your logs filled up. You can repeat the contacts in each grid square of the four that are up in Rivervale, and hope to hear you then. It's from 2 o'clock until 11 o'clock on Sunday, and it should be great. So any final comments or questions for the net before we secure it? This is K2BAR. Okay, I want to apologize for my wonderful signal. Again, my son broke his glasses. I had to run out the door tonight. Go spend a couple $100 on his glasses. So that's the way it is. And I apologize for the late setup, et cetera. David, I'll hopefully talk with you in the next day or so and after the contest. And we'll talk about this other web matter. Richard, I think, is as well. Although he will not be engaged in that conversation for at least a few days. And I think our goal is to use WinLink or something like that as a transfer mechanism. If anything else would be good, too. So I want to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of the repeater. Thank all of you for checking in tonight and putting up with my lousy signal. I'll try to do better next time. So, this is K2BAR, W2TTT is the operator, sign and clear, and return your repeater. The normal amateur, you've got to be.